Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Annoyed by the fact that his company had to be closed for Christmas and Easter, a certain man who was an atheist was complaining that Christians seemed to have all of the holidays. He mentioned Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Good Friday, and All Saints Day, adding, "We who are atheists have no holidays at all." "Oh, yes, you do," rebutted a friend. "You have April Fool's Day." Long ago, the psalmist wrote, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." But the fact that he denies his existence doesn't change the reality that God is there just the same. Question: why do you believe in God anyway? Perhaps you grew up with that belief. Perhaps you look at the magnitude of the universe and find it's easier to believe that all of this was the result of some power or presence who created the world than to think it happened by chance. You aren't convinced that an explosion in a print shop could create an unabridged dictionary, right? You believe somebody out there put it together. You are much like Ronald Reagan, who once said, "I have long been unable to understand the atheist in the world of so much beauty, and I've had an unholy desire to invite some atheist to a dinner and then serve the most fabulous gourmet dinner that has ever been concocted, and after dinner ask them if they believed there was a cook." Someone once said there are two kinds of atheists in our world, ordinary atheists and ornery atheists. They are the ones who really are not hardcore atheists, but use atheism as a screen. Such was a young man who once confided, "Actually, I'm not an atheist, but I can't believe in God and live the way I like to live." At least he was honest. What does it take to move from atheism to a belief in God? A near-death experience? A loud voice from heaven? Or the still, quiet voice which says, "There's more to life than what you see"? For Dr. Paul Brand, it was the intricacies of the human hand. As this skillful surgeon began to understand how marvelous is the human hand, he said that this alone would make him believe in God. For Sir Charles Scott Sherrington, the famous English physiologist who taught for many years at Oxford, it was the human eye. He said, "Behind the intricate mechanism of the human eye lie breathtaking glimpses of a master plan." For anthropologist Fairfield Osborne, it was the human brain. He wrote, "To my mind, the human brain is the most marvelous and mysterious object in the whole universe." Ultimately, however, a belief in God is not simply theological or philosophical, not the bottom line of persuasion. The writer of Hebrews in the New Testament put it, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Thousands of men and women around the world, finding themselves torn between belief and unbelief, have cried out, "God, if you're there, please show me." So did the heavens open up and did they experience a clap of thunder? Usually not. Suggestion: if you want to know about God's existence, read the stories of men and women who have searched for him and found him. You find those biographies in the Bible. Frankly, if I were not a believer, having read the biographies of atheists and having glimpsed how they died, I would opt for the fact there is a God, and I would want to know who he is and how he can befriend me.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. Visit givetoguidelines.org and become a partner in sharing hope and encouragement in Christ with others around the world. That's givetoguidelines.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for Guidelines for Living.